Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sick.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't care. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low. 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 Very low. Low budget live. Not so live coming to you from the low budget live bar and grill. Bar and bunker. Dang sure bar and bunker right now. In beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And it's the last one. It's the last one for this crazy, no good, rotten 2020 right here. And we're going out with a bang today. We got a good one. We got a good one today. Hope all of you had a Merry Christmas, you daggum lowlifers, you. I'm very glad to get to spend one more with you before we click calendar over to 2021. Thank God. Thank God. And in case you're in a hole somewhere, Christmas around here was good. But then unfortunately, a crazy person decided to blow AT&T up in downtown Nashville with an RV bomb. It's been, you know, all over the news now, but we've been without phone, and we've got internet, but we've been without phone for a few days now, and it's starting to trickle back in and work some, but crazy to wake up to that on Christmas morning. And, you know, they're still sorting through all the details, but thoughts and prayers to everybody affected, lots of businesses. And fortunately, with this crazy Batman villain, whatever that happened, there were evacuation warnings coming from this RV before it blew up and was playing music and countdown. It was creepy. If you haven't seen any of those videos, they're not for the faint of heart, but go check that out. Some of the security cam footage of this thing, it just, man. And, you know, the cops, the first responders that were there that did get some people out of some apartments that were surrounding the areas that were able to evacuate people. Man, it's just it's a crazy tale. And of course, you know, a lot of people spinning it and you know, the internet's crazy. I've been on the internet for a few days, man, and we always know the internet's crazy. But you want to do a deep dive on something, let something like this happen. People are like, well, I think he did it because he hates Garth Brooks. And we all know that Garth Brooks is damn connected to Bin Laden and damn voter fraud or whatever, man. People are freaking nuts, dude. Nuts. Or it could be just, I don't know, a crazy guy blew up AT&T. I don't know. People are like, well, my cousin Denise works for Verizon, and she told me that AT&T has bodies buried under the street, and that's how they keep the phones working, and this guy knew it, and he blew it up to show the bodies, and he loves Joe Biden or whatever. People are freaking crazy, man. Twitter's the best place and the worst place to be when something like this happens, so... Man, it's been wild. It was definitely, like I said, it was something crazy to wake up to. So hope all of you had a Christmas that was not that eventful. And, you know, you got to see your loved ones. I saw lots of people sharing, you know, the selfies from the front porches because they weren't getting to have that close Christmas that they normally have with their loved ones. We certainly did the same with my dad. We had a socially distanced Christmas with some masks. My dad, Marty D, has been... You know, he's got some health issues and things, and he has been very cautious of COVID since day one, and so we're trying to respect that, and we won't have many more Christmases with Dad. So, and unfortunately, there are a lot of people that aren't getting to do that. So, because they've lost, we've had some folks near and dear to us in this community that I live in that have passed away from this. So we, you know, it was weird. We were masked up in the house all day on Christmas, and, you know, air hugging. It was certainly different, but we got through it. We got through it, and we got to spend time together, even though it was not the way we would have liked to have done that. But so as we move into New Year's, I just wanted to say, hope you guys and gals out there, you low life and son of a guns, had a very Merry Christmas. We always tend to get more than we deserve around these parts. Speaking of things we don't deserve these fine sponsors like StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth and bringing you low-budget life for several years now. We appreciate the fine folks at Starbright Cleaning Solutions and StarTron for bringing you low-budget life, taking care of that ethanol problem in your weed eater, in your chainsaw. I saw a couple of you tagged me. You're doing your Christmas chores. Your little dab will do you, and you get the missus taken care of, and then you go... You go fishing for Christmas. Saw a couple of you low lifers tagging me in that. It's always appreciated. But we want to thank the fine folks at StarTron for bringing you low budget live for another year as we close the book on 2020. We appreciate those guys. And definitely want to say thanks to right there, one of our newest additions to the LBL world here, Sims Fishing Products out of Bozeman, Montana. Absolutely loving the clothes. Absolutely loving the Pro dry rain suit. It is, it's one of my favorites. Super lightweight, keeps you dry. And lots more to come from those folks in 2021 as we get back in action. But I am here to remind all of you lowlifers that you get one life. Fish it well. And last but certainly not least, the official, and I got a banner but hanging over my shoulder. So my dudes at Express Boats, the official boat of LBL and the Traveling Circus, they sent me this banner. It's over my shoulder. I can just barely see it. I don't know if y'all can tell, this roof behind me, it's got kind of a funky roof line out here in the LBL Bar and Grill. And this thing is a big banner. It's cool. It's one of the coolest things I've ever been gifted. And it says official sponsor of LBL, and it's got a picture of me driving a boat. And I look like I'm mad. I'm just kind of actually just hanging on for dear life because the damn thing's so fast. But I got to figure out how to hang it. And I got it, but it'll block out the sun. It's a big banner, but anxiously awaiting my X21 Pro. We're getting closer every single day, and I would expect to have that thing here in the next few weeks. And I want to thank the fine people at Express for being the official boat of LBL and the Traveling Circus. And I can't wait to get that X21 with that Yamaha and tear up and down the lakes all over this fine country. Once we get into 2021 and we start making things happen again. So thank you to those folks. Also, real quick, these are folks that I don't mention every week that I should mention a lot more, but I want to say thank you to Eagle Claw Fishing. They have absolutely supported me, the Traveling Circus, my FLW career, just Luke Duncan Fishing in general for a very long time. Eagle Claw, Trocar, Laser Sharp, they're a great company. I feel very blessed to have worked with them for so long and into 2021 and beyond. I want to say thanks. Obviously, y'all know Sixth Sense, fine folks, Sixth Sense. Love those folks, love their products. They are a big supporter of all things Luke Duncan. Atomic Transport, Atomic Transport. Y'all hear me talk about Atomic, going on some fishing trips with those guys this year, but Shane McCauley and the folks at Atomic Transport have supported me for several years now. The folks at Waste Connections, amazing company in the waste management industry, non-endemic sponsor I've had for many years now. Abu Garcia, and we are re-upping with those guys again for 2021. Could not be more excited. Been with them for a couple years now. And then last but certainly not least, the amazing folks at Garmin Electronics, Garmin Force Trolling Motor, of course, LiveScope, that took over all of the bass fishing world this year. But I want to say thank you to all of them, just because it doesn't get said enough. But and you're like, Luke, well, why don't they all sponsor the podcast? It's just the podcast is kind of different from a lot of things, and you know, it's business. So we don't mention them on every single episode, but they're partners of the Luke Duncan universe, and I feel like I need to say thank you. So support the folks that support what you like. If you like this and you tune in, support the people that support me, and I promise you we'll keep doing this. All right? Moving on, and as I said, we got a good one today. We got a good one today, and we're going to have to jump into it pretty quick. And because phone lines are down, it's going to be a Zoom interview, so you get a special video interview like I did with the fine folks from the band Town the other day. But this is a biggie. This is a biggie to end the year on, and I'm really looking forward to it. But crazy fishing news, in my opinion. Got to start with my, the greatest championship in fishing history that is a moving target. The Red Crest, MLF's BPT Red Crest, most prestigious championship of all time. They just don't have it all the time, and you can't figure out when it is. But just kidding, guys, just kidding. So Red Crest was going to be Tulsa, Oklahoma. They were going to have an expo this year. It's going to be a really, 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 really big deal. But because of COVID, the expo was canceled. Booth space was kind of expensive too, from a sponsor standpoint, from what I understand. Not sure how many booths, you know, I think they went on BTL saying that booths were all sold out. I don't really know that that was the case. But we'll see. But they canceled that. And look, who knows what February and March are going to bring. I still think we'll see the Bassmaster Classic rescheduled. So kudos to them for being the first to cancel their expo because of COVID. And I assumed the tournament was just going to go on there in Tulsa, Oklahoma in February. But now, because they don't have to worry about fans or they don't have to worry about expos or whatever, they're now having the tournament in Texas. So we're we're gonna do something different. Just what they do a lot, and it's really hard to keep up with, and it's kind of confusing, as a lot of things are that they do, in my opinion. You know, I'm biased, though. That's what the comments say. But moving Red Crest to Texas, which is also where the Bassmaster Classic is going to be. Texas, big state, a lot of lakes. I don't know. I mean, I think they'll probably catch bigger ones than they were at Grand. Grand in February is really tough. I don't know. That one was just kind of like 5 o'clock on Friday, right before Christmas news. That was, I don't know. But surprising, though. Surprising. I feel like it's surprising that they're moving it. But we'll see. We'll see. So much, you know, boat shows are being canceled. There's a lot of things being canceled. So I certainly don't want it to be taken that I think that, you know, they should have had their expo or whatever. But I think there are a lot of collective reasons that thing was canceled. I think it's why you haven't seen Bass come out and say what their plans are yet with the Classic, because it's a freaking big production. So what do you do? You certainly have to give people enough of a heads up so they can make, you know, other plans. And I dare say, you know, I think we saw some big companies not show up to Classic in 2020 because of COVID was just kind of kicking around. A lot of people were scared, and there was certainly a weird feel to the expo this year, which was right when the world kind of shut down. And so I don't know where all this is headed. You know, for me personally, I tell you, I don't really want to load up in March unless a lot changes and head to the expo at the Classic. I mean, from Expos from where they've been in the past, where I, how I've known Expos, which is shaking hands, hugging necks, you know, getting to know people. And man, it's just a different time right now with all this going on. And I can tell y'all this, I'll say this, I had me a little bout with COVID, and I'd have rather stuck my damn hand in a blender. I'll just tell you, I didn't really publicize that much, but it sucks. It freaking sucks, man. And my lungs still right now are not good. Definitely got some after effects from that. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But I would think that we could see the classic rescheduled if some things don't happen. You know, I'm living in Tennessee. We're the biggest freaking hotspot for COVID in the whole world right now, man. So I don't know. I don't know. I just think it's we're living in such a wild time right now. But Red Crest has changed. Something else that came out of the MLFLW Big Five RIP FLW world this week was the roster for the FLW Pro Circuit. A lot of BPT guys on there, and I think they're going to be, hasn't been explained yet, but I think they're going to be allowed to compete for points and making the championship and everything this year. Last year, it was like an asterisk. You know, they came in halfway through the season for the super tournaments, and they weren't allowed, even though, you know, obviously it affected the outcome of the events and whatever. But this year, I think they're going to be allowed to be in the points, which the guys are that fish the pro circuit are competing in the points to try to make it to the BPT to compete against the BPT guys. I don't know. But several guys on that roster, you know, from BPT are going to fish both, looks like, you know, several. The most surprising name, and I'm sure more information is going to come out about this, and there are lots of things going around about it, but go down that list, and the most shocking one to me was Brian Latimer. Old B-Lat is back on the Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit roster. You know, he left when I did and when Upshaw did and Castledine and Scott Martin and Bradley Hallman. And we all kind of took our collective stance that, hey, we're not going to do this. We don't like the future where this is headed. And, you know, for the most part, it's proven to be right, I feel like. And a lot of it has been exactly like I thought it was going to go, and with a few surprises. And Brian was outspoken about it. He was one of those guys, and he was, you know, trying to make the elites. He fished all eight of the opens and did not make the elite series. Did not make it. Now he's back on that list. And I don't know. There are things you can speculate. Lots of different things. Brian made a post with his nose snarled up a couple weeks ago and said, I don't like the way this smells, hashtag integrity, on his Instagram. And I don't know. Did he think he was getting in the elite series? What, you know, what's the deal? What's the deal? Is he, you know, is there something there with Bass and him? And now he's going back to the world of Boyd Duckett and MLF. And Brian was very against all that. So leads you to believe that something's there. Leads you to believe that there's some hurt feeling somewhere to send him back there. And I will say this, the roster came out publicly from FLW. Brian hasn't said a word about it. He hasn't made a post. He hasn't, to my knowledge, made a video about why he's going back to FLW. I'm sure he will. He documents everything like most YouTube guys do, myself included, but he hasn't said anything. So not sure on that. Y'all can comment below what you think is going on right there. All right. So normally, you know, I'm old school. I like to do my phoners, my phone interviews. A lot of y'all piss and moan about the audio quality, which it's low budget live of the phoners. But so today, just like I did with the band Town, a lot of you missed that one, but we're going Zoom call with our guest today. So this will kind of be chopped up a little bit more than I like to do it. I like to, you know, but I am fixing to jump on a Zoom call right now. One of my fishing heroes, someone I'm very proud to call a friend, someone I have an immense respect for in this industry for their decisions, for how they carry themselves, for how they run their business. That person is Mike Iaconelli. Let's go talk to Mike.
As promised, look who decided to drop in for the last LBL of this awful year. I texted him and I said, we've got to close it with a Luke Duncan and the one and only Mike Iaconelli combo. Mike, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on. This was a great setup. I'm the exclamation point to an awful year because I'm the most awful guest you've ever had. So I'm like an exclamation
point. That's not it.
I like it. Awful exclamation point.
No, you know? I think you've got 2020 has to end with Ike because you are always the most talked about guy in the industry and nobody has a damn clue what you're going to do. And in my comments week after week, you got to get Mike. Why is Mike not talking to you? And I'm like, well, yeah. He's got his own show. He's busy. It's Christmas. And so we made it happen. And I'll look right here at this camera. We're going to get some damn answers today. Mike Iaconelli is going to give us answers. He promised before we went live here that all of your concerns will be at least somewhat, you know, handled right here, right?
They will. And I know your show, like Ike Live, we only have one rule, and that is you got to be honest on the show.
That's right.
So
that's it.
I'm going to be honest with everybody today.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah,
definitely.
Well, the first question is a very tough one then. Okay. I see every year, and I see this at Thanksgiving with the Iaconellis, and of course we've got the hashtag growing up Iaconelli, and I think that nothing could be more perfect for you guys because it is. You guys... one of the coolest families that I know, okay? And I mean that with all I've got, watching you guys go on these road trips with your kids, you know, whether it be to tournaments or just to, like, educate them that the world is this big place. You guys go on some amazing trips, but your Thanksgivings are always really cool, the way you do those, your Christmases. And I have to ask, because I say this every year on LBL, I am terrible at Christmas, dude. I suck. Like, self-admitted, like, I got my wife... whatever this year. And she's like, oh, well, here's this heartfelt, amazing gift because I pay attention to your every detail in life. And I'm like, here's a blender. You know, that's just me. So are you that guy in your house? Do you pay attention? Do you give good gifts or does Beck like reign supreme?
No, Becky reigns supreme. I you know, the beauty of social media is you can sort of hide a little bit behind something that isn't totally real. But,
you
know, I definitely fall into the boat you fall into. I've had my share of bomb gifts over the years. I'm not great at it, but Becky is, you know, she's kind of the control of the mothership. So, you know, she does a good job of taking care of everybody. And I get my focus is a lot smaller. So I try to get her dialed in. I try to understand. She's easy because, like, I have an addiction with fishing. I mean, I love it.
For
and
sure.
You know that, dude. Yes. I've got every crankbait, every hard bait I've ever owned since I was a kid. I still have. I've never That's thrown awesome. A single hard bait away. So I have an addiction. She has an addiction, which is fashion. And so it becomes easy.
Yeah.
It becomes easy for me to shop for her. And then my kids are easy too. You know, I've got them figured out. I know their hobbies. I know what they're into. Vegas is into the same thing I am. So I can, what would I want? I look at a big swim bait and I'm like, damn, that's cool. I'll get that for Vegas. And you know, he loves it. So it's a mix of Becky being in control and me having a smaller role in doing the shopping, you know.
I'm proud to hear that because you being one of my heroes, I like to know that you're in the same boat as me.
Regular.
As long as I have to, like you said, like my kids super into fishing, they love the outdoors, they love hunting. As long as I'm in that lane, it's like you said, it's easy. I go to the tackle store, I go to the tackle warehouse, whatever, and I know I'm going to hit a home run with that stuff. My dad's the same way, shopping for my dad, my brother. It's easy. That's easy. Yeah. But wife, dude, it's the hardest thing. I told her, I said, really make Christmas difficult. You really make Christmas difficult. And one of my gifts, this is no joke, one of my gifts this year showed up from Amazon because, dude, I've been in quarantine. I had COVID before Christmas, kind of locked up. So I'm Amazon and everything. They brought the damn thing just in the box that it came in, not an Amazon box. And I'm out here recording, and the delivery guy brings it to my wife, and it was one of her Christmas gifts. And so, like, I didn't even get to, like, the Christmas surprise, like, 2 days before Christmas. Man. And she texts me nothing but, like, crying, laughing face emojis because she knew how pissed I was going to be because I sucked. And it was a good gift. And she's like, hey, thanks. Knew it was hers.
Oh, that's the worst. And
the post office, they screwed me. They screwed
me. That's the worst. That's the worst. I smell a lawsuit coming on right now.
Well,
you know, a Christmas lawsuit against Amazon, you know?
I can't imagine I would be alone in that, you know?
You wouldn't. I would not.
Because somewhere, my wife, who does pay attention to everybody, she got my 9-year-old a baby Yoda, like this animatronic. Everybody's all into Star Wars baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And this damn thing, it was up by your house at one point last week. I was like, I'm going to call Mike and see if he can run get it. And then Amazon. And then it showed up in like Georgia and then Knoxville, Tennessee. And this morning, this was ordered over a month ago. It showed up in Nashville via the tracking. And so we've had lots of problems with Amazon. Right?
Crazy.
All right. So, well, I'm glad that you guys had an amazing Christmas.
It's a good one.
It's a little different this year. You know, obviously, you know, I talked about that before. We had Christmas with my dad. He's super paranoid about COVID. So we all masked up and kind of separated in the house, which is strange, but you know, at least we got to be together, you know, because we thought that dad would just cancel altogether. Right. And just, you know, cause he is, he's at the age. He's like, look, he's lost some of his friends to this. And he's like, we got to pay attention. So, now we got that behind us. We're looking at 2021. And there's a rumor going around. There's always rumors going around with Mike Iaconelli, I feel like. And Luke Duncan as well. I feel like there's always some rumors. I feel like I contribute to some of that. But with you, everybody wants to know what 2021 is going to look like for you. It's going to happen in a couple of days. This calendar's going to switch over. And people are like, hey, man, I heard he's going back to work at Dick's Sporting Goods. I mean,
that's a good one.
I heard he's going to start fishing the Federation again. Like I've heard all.
And here's the thing, Luke, you're saying these things jokingly and kiddingly. And
yes, I think
of those times in my life and they were awesome. Like honestly, working at Dick's was like the best thing that could ever happen to me. It was the best almost 3 years of my life. I had a job that I loved. I loved retail. I loved helping people. You know, people would come in and say, I need a fishing rod for so-and-so. I'm trying to fish for this. My uncle needs it. And I got to help them. It was an amazing job. And it was a great time in my life. And so was the Federation. You know, I was lucky enough to be involved in the Federation when it was still the Federation before the split. And it was such a great time of my life and a great time in my career, man. I would go back to both of those things in a heartbeat, you know, to get to experience those things again, you know? So I know you said it kiddingly, but they were great. They were great moments.
Well, they were influential moments in your life. You would not be Ike that everybody knows if it weren't for those situations. I dare say like Dick's Sporting Goods helped you. You know, I don't think you've ever had a problem really being in your shell. I won't say getting out of your shell, but dealing with the public, learning to talk to people. I mean, I
tremendous,
would say
yes.
That helped you, you know, I mean, took you right to Jimmy Kimmel for the love of God.
It helped me more than you know, like working with the public, you know, the side of retailing that a lot of guys don't see, all that helped. It helped getting me in with a lot of companies early on when I made the conversion to Fishing the Tour. I got in with Dick's at a different level. I made my initial connection with Daiwa when I was working for Daiwa back then through Dick's. So like all that stuff.
That's crazy.
It gave me an appreciation for merchandising, all those other things. And we would do a lot of crank calls from Dick's. So Dick's Sporting Goods, and if you work in retail, you might, if you work for a big company like that, at the time I was at Mount Laurel store 182 was our store number. So they already had 100 and some stores at the time. So it was big already. And they had a phone system that interconnected every single Dick's store. And that was trouble because, you know, once my stuff was done, we'd have slow periods and all my merchandise is out and I restocked and I did returns and did that, whatever. My job was done. we had a lot of time on our hands. So we would pick up these phones that were all interconnected and you could press the store number. It was like star 50, star 120, whatever. And other dicks would answer. And me and my coworker that was the hunting manager at the time, Ken Klodnicki, we would go on these tirades of crank calls during work hours. Hopefully statute of limitations is, oh, you know, that's
can you not get placing. Fired from a job you already, I don't think that
I happens. Don't know, but we, this was all on the clock, but we would call these other stores and I would call for the fishing department. And the reality of Dick's though, a lot of the guys that worked at Dick's, all of them weren't really fish heads. You know, there were some, but some of them you'd just get dudes that knew more about sneakers than they did about fishing. So we would call, and I would use all my voices, and I had like 7 or 8 different characters. And we would call, "Hello, you got rattle traps there?" And, you know, just like go on these long crank calls until like literally we had them so flustered, they would hang up on us or we got tired and we would hang up on them. But fun time in my life, fun time.
That's awesome. Well, obviously you went from that to the successful pro career, which nobody knows where this is headed now. You're a competitive guy, but you've decided to step away from the Bass Pro Tour. I think it's fair to say you're not on the roster. You've stepped back from that, but there's a vicious rumor going around. And for me, I like the rumor. Okay. I like the rumor. I may or may not have started the rumor even.
Right. But
as you know, we talked about it on iCloud the last time you graciously had me on, you and the guys. I'm going to be hosting the NPFL's inaugural season and their live coverage, but there is an empty co-host chair. And I have posted about this. There's been a lot of people that they've asked that are like, I wouldn't go to Walmart with Luke Duncan. Why would I join him side by side? And I'm seeing a lot of comments on the internet right now that people think that you quit. Bass Pro Tour, your competitive career, that this illustrious career, would join me at the desk. And I just wanted to know, would you like to address that on Low Budget Live at all?
Sure, I would. And you know, honestly, you know, and again, this is the rule of our shows. You have to be honest.
Yes, transparency and honesty.
Honestly, 100%, with all seriousness, look everyone in the eye, look you in the eye, and tell you that 2021 is a year change for me. But in 2021, as we talk right now, I'm as confused as everybody else. I'm not kidding when I tell you that. And this is such a weird feeling to be, gosh, we are days away from January 1st, 2021. And I cannot honestly tell you what the year will hold for me. So, you know, so the bad thing is, I think maybe a lot of people were looking for an exact answer. Can't give you that. The good thing is, it could be one of many things or two or three of many things for 2021. I honestly don't know. I can tell you this, though, and I haven't mentioned this before on anybody's show. Becky and I always like to say we, because we're family. We're also in business together. We're really, really, really lucky, blessed, fortunate to not feel cornered in our life and in our business and our career. You know, and the reality of it is so many anglers, so many people in the sport fishing business sort of are – you know, you're forced into a segment, you know, you're pushed into a certain corner of the sport. And we're really, really fortunate that we're not in that position. Right. So, you know, so 2021 might not be competitive fishing. It might be announcing like what you're doing. It might be emceeing. I mean, what a cool gig that would be to look at the sport from a different side. It may be, you know, and I've been honest about this. I'm working on a really new cool concept TV program, program. And it may be that, I hope it's that we haven't, that project's not greenlit yet. It's getting really close, but it may be that it may be competition. You know, if in the next couple of weeks, none of these other things materialize, I may just go back to fishing because there's not enough work for me in 2021. I might end up back at one of the tours. It's hard to answer it because I honestly don't know. But Luke, I am as competitive as I've ever been. When I fish an 8-boat winter league, which I did yesterday, I want to beat your brains in. When I'm fishing Bass Pro Tour or FLW Tour or BASS, Open, Elite, or other, I'm just as competitive. And regardless of what happens in 21, I see competing at some level for me in 2021. I just don't know what that means. I don't know if it means Opens and Toyota Series. Does it mean the Elites? Does it mean leveraging someone? Help? Can I come back at MLF? I don't know. I don't know what it means.
Well, hey, you want me to call Boyd?
Yeah,
I don't know if he'll answer.
I know you've got him on speed dial. You know, we might have to.
I just don't know if he'll answer.
Well, you never know.
I think it's all about honesty, and I feel like you're the one guy that you never have to wonder what you're thinking, you know, in this industry. And why do you feel that 2021 is this year for you to step away from Major League Fishing when you've been a part of it since the beginning? Why for you, in your words, because I think a lot of people want to know that. Like,
they do.
Why was this the time to pick that choice, you know?
Yeah, there's like three things at play, and I'll try to give them to you in order. You know, the first one is the reality of what 20 was for all of us, right?
Yes.
We've all known people. Now we all know people that have had COVID, that have died, passed away from COVID, the struggles of the world with economy and, the whole thing. It was sort of a disaster. And, it was like that for us here internally. And, you know, fishing, Major League Fishing, with them sort of canceling, you know, I've never fished as few professional events in my life. With them sort of canceling the bulk of our season, you know, we had to just really sort of step up what we did here with internally with all the businesses. And what we ended up with, you know, when we got to the end of the year and we looked at our impact, we looked at our reach, we looked at how we were affecting people and how we were influencing sales. And it's never been stronger, right? It's never been stronger for us. And every company we work with, they're seeing the same stuff. And they're like, and it was a big reality check that professional tournament fishing isn't the only way to work for these companies, right? In fact, I'm going to get negative comments about this. I know it's not only the only way, but you hit a small minority of fishing consumers through pro fishing, tournament fishing, right? Through pro angling.
Yes.
So, dude, the world of fishing is such a big, giant, huge thing.
Huge.
Giant.
Huge.
And a company like Toyota or Yamaha or Berkeley or Rapala, their sales for hardcore tournament guys, it's an eighth. Their worldwide sales are that, right? It's the giant pie of all the other people that enjoy fishing and the outdoors. So, you know, when we had a big impact this year for those companies and we're still touching and reaching people and hitting people and making an impact, it just sort of, you know, it said, Becky and I said, you know, maybe this is time to try something else. You know, maybe it's time to step away. So part two goes right to this, to what I just said, which is, you know, Luke, it's been on my mind for a lot of years. You know, I've sort of went in and out of, you know, thinking about leaving a little or permanently or whatever, because of sort of, I don't know if it burnout's the best way to describe it, but you know, and guys that have tour fished know, but it is not this life of, you know, it's hard. It's a hard job. And you're away from home and you're away from your family. I've got two older girls. I've got a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old that when I look back on their youth, I missed so much stuff. And that's just, you know, it's not just pro fishermen. It's a lot of parents or dads are put in that situation, but it's tough. And, you know, if I could still do what I love, which is fishing, if I could still be involved in that and maybe be a little more in control of my own destiny when it comes to travel and time and all that, why wouldn't you want to do that? You know? So that's the second part. I got to show you. My wife just walked in. Look at this baller outfit she's got.
What's up?
Look at that. Look, she looks
like. I love it.
It's like a pro basketball outfit she's got on. By the way, that was a Christmas present. That ties into
that was you. That was you. Okay. That was you.
It just looks very baller.
So it is baller.
Check it out for. So I think a little bit of it is that it's been on my mind, and I'm sort of like, I want it to wait for the right time, you know? So I think maybe part two is that. And then last but not least, and this is being totally honest, and I have to address it, is that I do have a bit of frustration with the leagues, right? And I'm not gonna target one of them. I'm going to say the leagues. Prior, you know, FLW, now, you know, MLF, Bass, they are all doing some really good stuff, and they're doing some amazing, cool things to reach new people. But there's also a lot of things they're doing that it's hurting the growth of the sport, in my opinion. It's frustrating. It's frustrating that, you know, that here we are a couple of years after this big move, and this big move was supposed to be waking up of the leagues to say, yes. Hey, dude, the anglers are, you know, they mean something, right? They're the reason your business exists. And
that's right.
You know,
the customers,
right?
Essentially. I mean, yeah, they make these companies run, the anglers.
Yeah. And I think there's still a lot of missing things in all those leagues where the anglers are still getting the short end of the stick. And I don't
agree more.
I don't like it. I wish it would change. I hope it changes in my lifetime, you know, where the anglers have a little say, they have a little bit of power, they can control their own destiny a little bit, rather than just being a number in a business proposal. That's worst thing that could happen. And that, you know, the argument, I battle this all the time, even on our show, you know, is people say, well, Bass and MLF, they're businesses just like any other business, just like a John Deere or a Coca-Cola. They're businesses, and you got to be cutthroat and you got to make money. Well, I agree with that a little bit. But the thing with these leagues is that they are a sport. Right? They're a sport, which is above and beyond a financial profile of a company, you know? And that's the hard part, is when these leagues are making decisions that help their pocket but don't necessarily help the sport. And that I have a problem with.
Well, I think for me, I mean, obviously it's been documented, and you know this, I mean, my opinions that have led me to some, you know, the back and forth that I've had with some of the people in these leagues were based off of concerns like what you're mentioning. I didn't see this growth. I didn't see this from either organization. And here we are again. And I think what you just said, man, you echoed so many things that I've said. You don't necessarily have to take this prototypical, hey, you got to go fish 9 tournaments a year to be a Bass Pro to reach people. And we've seen guys like the Googans, like Ben Milliken, who I know you're getting to know. We've seen these YouTubers, we've seen these, quote, influencers, these promoters take a different approach, and they're reaching people that pro fishermen aren't reaching.
They're reaching people.
And that is growing the sport. That is growing the sport. And so I love that you said that, because I love that you said, hey, I can kind of do my own thing. I can make my own schedule instead of having to show up when Bass or MLF tells me to. That was my 2020. When I stepped away from tournaments for the first time in 5 years, I'm like, you know what? I want to go to Florida and film a fishing trip in February. I'm going to go do that. And I go down there for 3 days, and I come back home to something else. And that was kind of my year. And it was, I mean, of course, COVID kind of rocked everything, but it was so nice. That part of it was nice, is not being on somebody else's schedule. And like you said, at the end of the year, if I look at everything that I feel like I accomplished for the people that partner with me, it was actually better this year than it was when I fished six or seven FLWs or whatever. So I think we will see this. And I think this goes for, I talked about this last week with, goodness gracious, it just left me. Who I even had on last week. This is terrible, Mike.
Who didn't you have on last week?
No, I know who it was. It was Pat Schlopper, who is a Elite Series rookie, but he quit his job. He worked at a sporting goods store 15, 17 years, quit this year to pursue making the elites, and he double qualified. He won the Federation, the Bass Nation Championship, and made it through the Eastern Opens as well. But he and I were talking about how it's drilled into you from a young age, hey, you got to have a 9-to-5. You got to do this. And we're seeing so much of these younger generations now, that's not the case anymore. You can have, like, I've got four jobs right now. I never thought that would be the case. But you know what? It's no different than what you're headed into. And, man, I think 2021 is going to be awesome, especially having you at the co-host desk, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. And hold on, so I can set my eye right there.
Something in your eye?
I guess something I don't know. Is if it's in- dust. I think a little dust or fuzz got in there.
You said the leagues. You said a lot about the leagues, and NPFL likes to refer to themselves as the leagues. So there you go, conspiracy theorists. Have fun with that.
I like it. I like it. And you hit it on the head. You know, there's so many ways to reach people, and it's not doesn't necessarily all have to be through pro tournament fishing. And we've seen that, you know, digital content is king. And you know, content doesn't have to be generated from a pro tournament. So
not at all.
But the reality of it is we've fielded so many comments, here that has said, you know, don't retire. You know, what are you going to do? And dude, the reality is if nothing else got added on the plate for 2021 between Bass University and Ike Live, Going Ike, and the Ike Foundation, and all the other stuff, dude, there is not
enough
time.
You're going to be
busy. There's not enough time. There's 365 is not enough to do all that. So,
no doubt.
You know, this isn't a retirement. I want everyone to know I'm not retiring. That's a terrible word to use.
We're not getting rid of Mike Iaconelli in the fishing industry, ladies.
No.
That's going to be the case.
No, we work in 5 and 10 year plans, Becky and I. So I know when that's going to be. You know, when I get that magic number, you know, that mid 60s to 70 year old range, that's when you're going to see the real R word. We're going to sell everything, every material possession we own. You'll see it on eBay. We're going to maybe do it through Brody of the Lake. We'll bring him back. I don't know. We're going to sell everything and move to like Fiji and buy like a hut or something. And then you'll never see me again the rest of my life.
Well, so, can I get one text message before that happens? Cause I want some of those hard baits you're going to get rid of.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You've got some that I really, really want.
I'll split them up because I know Vegas has his eye on a few, but we'll split them up for sure. Yeah.
Speaking of Vegas, let me ask you this, as you talk about tournaments, cause he is definitely coming into that a lot like my son, which my son's Hudson, my 12-year-old.
Yep.
Is a little older, but I mean, where do you see him in the mix with this? Do you think the tournament thing, as we talk about all this changing, because he's certainly in that age that grows up in the YouTube world, right?
Yes.
So
yes, he is.
Where do you see Vegas with this in a few years? Is he going to
be
competitive, doing content? What? Because he loves it. Like the joy on that child's face when you post a video, you can't fake that. you can't make it. He loves it, man.
He loves it. And it's, you know, the thought of not being gone as much in 21 is definitely exciting to me, to spend more time with all of my kids, but, you know, especially Vegas and, you know, with what he's doing in fishing, we're very, very, very careful and cautious. And we were the same way with all four of them, that we want them to love and be passionate about what they're into, right? So there's that fine line there. And it's hard for me because when I get a rod and reel, I snap in the, it's hard to get out of that mode of competitor, right?
Of course.
But you have to.
Same here.
And Becky and I are very much with all of them, Drew, Riley, Estella, and Vegas. We're like, do what makes you happy, right? So the nice thing with Vegas right now, this phase of his life, he loves soccer. He loves fishing. He loves building stuff. Dude, I mean, he's got like the mind of an engineer. So
that's cool.
You know, so in one breath, we're not, you know, blocking it. We're not saying, oh, the life of a fisherman's terrible, don't do it. We're saying, do what you love. And, you know, I think part of every dad, right, you want to see your kids enjoy something that you're passionate about, right? Yeah. So I'm passionate about fishing. When I'm out in a boat with him and he's at a youth derby and I'm the captain for him and the other kid and I'm netting their fish, dude, I'm more at this stage of my life, I'm 48, I'm more excited about that than me catching the fish. And awesome. If you're a parent, you understand that.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah, man.
So, you know, part of me closes my eyes and I think, man, Vegas has it. He has what it could take to be a pro, right? He has an understanding of how to promote at his age. He's not even 10 yet. He has the natural ability, which is a hard thing to teach. And you know, when I watch him, he's doing things that I haven't taught him that he's doing very naturally. Like, so that stuff you look at, cool. You look at it, you're like, man, that would be great. That would be so cool to watch him, you know, follow in my footsteps. I think part of me says that'd be awesome. And then the other part of me says, do you really want him to go through the highs and lows of, you know, dude, I there's been days where I felt like the lowest person in the world. And then
most manic lifestyle.
Oh yeah.
That you could ever pick.
Yeah. Then the next week you're on top of the world with a big blue trophy. I mean, and you think, do you want that for him? You know, how cool would it be if he went on to college and became an engineer and could build something that made a difference in the world? You know, so we want to leave it open. And I'll say it again, and this is a great motto. If you're a parent, if you're a dad or a mom listening to this, this is a great motto. All we want when these kids leave the house, and we've already have two that have sort of kind of left. They're still around a lot, but they sort of kind of left. We want to create happy, functioning adults. And that's honestly perfect. What we want, and that's a great goal. Don't overachieve as a parent. Create happy, functioning adults.
I love it.
That's all you want.
I love it, man. And I think that's great advice. Great advice. And you guys live it. Like I said, you see the trips, you see everything that you guys try to do. It's not, you know, textbook by any means. You guys are letting your kids make decisions on what'll lead them. And I'm very much that way. When Hudson got into tournament fishing this year, it was just like all of a sudden just like clicked. It's like, hey, Dad, I want to hear there's a tournament on this lake. Can we go? And he never asked before. And I'm like, well, yeah, we'll go. And we want a little bit of money. And you just see it.
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, yep. And he's like, Dad, did you see Mike's new video? Like, he's watching your stuff and he's watching awesome. Paul's stuff. And he's like, Dad, did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh boy, here we go. Because he's always fished with me, right? But this year it was like
it clicked.
It just clicked. Yeah. And I'm like, and now he's like, there's a winter trail that just started here. And a buddy at school was telling him about it. He's like, Dad, they fish every Saturday down on Wheeler.
Oh, we just
start going down there. And I'm like, well, it's cold. It's deer season. I'm not like you. I'm not throwing the blade bait. Like hey, it'll be spring again in March. We'll go back.
Yeah.
He's starting. I'm like, well, do you want to go if it's cold? He's like, yeah, Dad, I want to go. And he's like,
it's great to see it.
Big, small. It's awesome. But at the same time, you don't want to, I don't want to push him. And it's the same with music for me, right? Like, I don't want to, yay, man, you play guitar, you know, you know, all these things that I love. So I very much respect that mentality you guys have, man, because they've got to find it on their own, or they could end up resenting it at some point, right? Like, if you love that, hey, fishing, it's the only thing we do here, guys.
Yeah.
Fishing, you know?
So. They got to find it on their own. And when they find that thing, that passion, it's going to make for a happy life. You know, you're going to be engaged in something that you love to do every day, you know? So Vegas is having fun. He's enjoying it. And I'm happy with that at this stage. So I don't know what it'll lead to, but yeah, it's great.
All right, buddy. I got one more thing because I know Beck. I feel like she's going to give you the hook. She's like, "Hey, we've got stuff to do in here."
Not on Sunday. There's no hook.
Not on Sunday. There's no hook on Sunday.
Well, now, I appreciate you taking Monday through Friday. There's a hook.
Monday. Yes, I can imagine. You are such a and you have coined this term that we all use, but this fish head, like you do. You don't care if it's perch, pickerel, whatever. Like, you love catch fish, and I'm the same way. I don't care if it's trout. I saw you did the Uncle Larry's thing the other day.
Yeah.
You went trout fishing. Just so many. You don't care, man. It's like your show. You're traveling around the world. You're catching all these different. It was awesome. I love that. And I've got to ask you this, though, based on your just love of catching fish. What do you think? Now, I saw you post the new Lowrance active target. You know, I'm a Garmin guy, so I've had live scope for a very long time. What was your takeaway this year from this new technology? Good, bad? What does it mean for the sport? What's Mike Iaconelli's take on this?
That's such a good question. And you get so many different answers depending on who you survey. You know, we had Randy Blockett on live a few months ago. And live scope and active target, that technology is the devil as far as he's concerned. Oh,
yeah. And for a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, for a lot of people. And there are other people that think it's the, you know, the best thing since side imaging, since side scanning. So, you know, I come from the school of thought that you should embrace technology. And, you know, change is going to happen in everything in life. Every part of your life you're going to encounter change. And, you know, I've always been one to sort of embrace it, you know? So I'm not a hater of the technology. It's a tool like everything else, right? Active Target and Garmin's technology, they are tools just like you have to learn how to fish a spinnerbait. You have to learn how to flip a jig. You have to learn how to drive a boat. You have to learn, you know, they're all skills and techniques, right? So, you know, I'm the best example of it. I was one of the few that did not jump ship. You know, I didn't have it. And I watched in awe as guys were dominating with it. And I saw it from afar. But I never even got to play with one. I just never was in a boat that had one or anything like that. So when I saw Lowrance's for the first time, your eyes kind of pop out of your head. But even now, I've had it now for about 3 weeks installed on my boat. Even now, I don't know it yet, right?
It takes time.
I'm in that phase where I'm trying to make sense of it and see when it would help me and when it would hurt me. I can tell you yesterday.
That's a good point.
I fished a winter league yesterday, okay? The water temperature wasn't that cold. It was 42 degrees. I saw the winning fish all day and I sort of chased them all day because I saw them. When you see them, it doesn't lie. This technology, if that's a bass
they're
the
there.
Bottom,
yeah.
moving He's around, there. That's a bass moving around. So yesterday it sort of sucked me in and I could see where the technology could hurt you really, really bad, right?
That is the most interesting point anybody's made about it. Because I've lived with it for 3 years, and it very much can take you down rabbit holes.
Oh, yeah.
Very much.
Oh,
you're looking at 30 right here on this point. Well, they may not bite. They may be there for a reason. You might need to be flipping trees. You know what I'm saying? And you go, oh, well, I've got this technology. I need to embrace this. I need to go. This is what I need to do.
Yeah, and it's just you could compare it to a technique. You know, there's even the Alabama rig. Guys hate the Alabama rig, but the Alabama rig could make you a champ, or it could screw you really bad, just like this technology. So I'm embracing it. I've got a handful of resolutions for 21, and one of them is to learn this technology. I want to be really good at it. You know, when my first derb happens in 21, whatever that is.
Oh, I thought we were getting it right there.
No, I want to be ready for it. I want to be ready for it, you know, with this technology. So I'm embracing it.
Well, I figured you would, but I never, the answer you gave right there, man, that it could lead you down a rabbit hole. That is one that people won't think about because there's so many comments online. It's not fair for the fish. it's a miracle drug. It's like the Alabama rig. And I have a lake 20 minutes from my house. It's a Tennessee state owned deal full of 4 to 6 pounders. Okay. This place has as many in that class as anywhere I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I was in my area, the first one with the original Panoptics and then LiveScope. And listen, for 2 years, and there are no tournaments on this lake. If my kids and I wanted to go catch some big ones, we just went out there and just caught big ones. Yeah. But now several other people have it. And these fish that used to be completely untouched are not.
Yeah.
No. And so it's not a miracle. And you're watching them slide up on your swim bait and turn away. Look at your jerk bait and turn away. So it's ever evolving, just like you said, the Alabama. Yeah. Think about when deep diving crankbaits first came out. I mean, it was game over. You got a crankbait in 20 feet of water. First time a DT20 hit something. Well, of course they ate it. Think about how many of those they've seen on Pickwick now.
Yeah.
They're used to it at this point. Yep. So you got to keep changing, keep evolving. And it's just like that. It's like you said, it's just another tool. So
another tool.
It's going to be interesting to see where all this goes, because my God, if in 2021, this is where we're at, I mean, what's next? Because that's the scary part for me, is where we're headed with all this. But I can't wait to see it, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see you on the Elite Series MLF MPFL kayaks tour this year.
Say them all, baby. Oh,
put them all in there. One more quick thing. Kayak tournaments.
Yes.
Will we see you again in kayak bass tournaments this year? Because you did it last year.
Yes.
Will we see you? At least give us that. At least shut LBL down with that.
Yeah, that's an easy one to answer. And absolutely 100%. I will fish more professional kayak events. And,
yes.
You know, the great thing about it is there's several leagues, just like in the pro bass fishing ranks, there's several leagues. So I'm definitely, you'll see me at a Hobie event. You might see me at a KBF event. You know, I'd like to cherry pick a few just to get into them. And it's as competitive there. Oh. You know, I got a lot of comments saying, oh, what are you gone down to that level for? And you know what? Dude, that is not the case.
No, not at all. You
know, like those anglers are so good at what they do. They're as good as some of the best fishermen in the world, you know? So I have a lot to learn over there. It's not as easy as
a different game.
It's a different game. It's a different strategy, different way to fish and fight fish and land fit. I mean, everything's different. So I've got a lot to learn over there, but you know, I like to set goals. And when I set my mind to something, I'm going to keep at it until I succeed. So I want to win one, you know, I want to win a professional kayak event. So if it's not in 21, I'm going to just keep trying till I can accomplish that goal.
I love it. I love it. Well, brother, as always, I appreciate you giving me the time. You're always very kind to me over the years. You always have been, you and Becky. Tell her I appreciate your time on this Christmas heading right into New Year's time frame right here. So it's I know it's a tricky time. So much appreciated as always, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the time. And thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. I hope everyone has an awesome holiday, the remainder of the holiday, and a great year in 21. It's going to get better. Things are going to get back to normal. Yes. Stay positive.
Yes.
Have fun. Keep fishing. I hope to be back on again soon, or maybe next to you in the chair doing a little commentating.
Well, you never know. Lots of wink. Can I wink with both eyes? I don't even know. Mike Iaconelli, everybody. Well, I just got to say a huge thank you to Mr. Mike Iaconelli for joining me this close to New Year's and right after Christmas. Mike's like me. He's got a house full of kids and lots of holiday celebrations going on. So I appreciate him. Hope you guys and gals got a lot out of that. I know I sure did. Very interesting conversation. As always, with Mr. Iaconelli, want to say thank you, like I do each and every week, but especially as we, you know, stare down the barrel of another year end here, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you low-lifers, love me, hate me, whatever, for showing up each and every week to the Traveling Circus and Low Budget Live. Man, this year has been, it's been crazy, but it's also been a blessing.
and getting to know so many of you. Having the Low Budget Live at the Classic was amazing. And just, that was the last event I really got to go to. And I got to meet so many of you that this show means something to. And you'll never understand how much I appreciate that. I could say it a million times each week, but you'll never understand, because I have such a good time with this. I do put in a lot of work into it as well. It may not seem like that all the time, but I just appreciate you so much. And I appreciate guys like Mike Iaconelli, like Dave Mercer, for joining me for LD and the MC, all the wonderful guests from this year, all of you that comment, and just keep it going. Keep it going. I promise you, if you keep showing up, I'm going to keep running my mouth into a microphone. I'm going to keep making fishing videos. I'm going to keep on, doing whatever it is I collectively do in the world of bass fishing, and I enjoy every second of it. So thank you. I hope each and every one of you have a happy New Year's. I hope that I hope all of you, whatever the hell you did last year on the 31st going into 2020, don't do that again, okay? Let's change our plan. Let's do a rain dance. Let's do something different, okay? Let's do something different. But I'm going to take you out with a little bit of Biloxi Blues, like I always do. Got some new music coming in 2021 I'm super excited about. Just lots of good things coming. Lots of good things. NPFL, we are so close to just being really busy again. Really, really busy. But thank you all so much. I'm going to see you in 2021, which feels very weird to say, but I am glad to get to say it. Make sure you hug your mama. Make sure you hug your daddy. Here's some Biloxi Blues, and I will see y'all next time.
Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. And I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.